May the Lord constantly increase the number of children we have in our church who can hear the gospel and be taught about Jesus. It's a lot easier to train a child than it is to fix an adult. So we need to really be focused on that. Let's pray together today as we open God's word again. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for we have a lot of things to praise you for all the wonderful things that you did this past week, just like we read in this passage, this wonderful thing that Jesus did for this lady who for 18 years suffered in spite of what the Pharisees said. Jesus healed her. Jesus gave her life. Lord, we just pray that your word will heal us today, will give us life, and will do wonderful things in our lives too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 John. 2 John, it's the second letter, the second epistle of John. And we're going to be studying verses 4 through 6 today, but I'll read for you verses 1 through 6, so we have a little bit of the context of what we studied last week, but also helps us to understand what we'll look at this week. 2 John, verses 1 through 6. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. That you walk in love. That we live our lives a certain way. That we live consistently with the truth that we now believe. It's really, really important for us to live consistent lives, isn't it? That what we say equals who we are and what we do. You know, otherwise, people look at us and say, oh, that's what Jesus is like. Oh, or that's what our kids look at us like and say, oh. Consistency is so very important for us. Well, truth and love create a certain environment for us to learn in, an environment in which we can understand grace, and we can understand mercy, and we can understand peace. You know, if someone is lying to us, then we're not going to understand the Word of God, are we? Or if we're afraid, then we're not. That's not a good learning environment for us to study God's Word in. If we're, you know, somebody's lying to us or afraid, that's not a good place to be to study God's Word. We need to be in an atmosphere of truth and love, a combination of those two together. You know, we saw that illustrated before our eyes last week. We Skyped with one of our friends. His name is Peter. He lives in the Czech Republic. And we Skyped with him for about 2 hours. And we've known Peter for about, at least 25, 30 years. And he became a Christian when he received the Jesus video. And you know, there were hundreds of people, thousands of people, over 1 million people that Sunday or that summer that received the Jesus video. And he was one of those people who believed. He became a follower of Jesus. Somehow God plucked that person out of, you know, hundreds of people who said, "Oh, I don't want that." But somehow Peter turned to him and he was plucked out of that kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light when he received Jesus as his Savior. And Peter showed up at our house one Sunday afternoon. We had a Bible study, and we studied the Gospel of John with him. And we watched him grow as a Christian. And we watched him get baptized. I baptized him in a swimming pool not far from our house. There weren't any church baptistries like we have here, the nice ones here. It was just, you find a pond, you find a river, you find somebody's tub outside, you baptize them in those places. And we saw him get married. We saw him have kids. And we followed him. We followed his life. We saw him living consistently because of love and truth that was expressed to him through the Bible. And it's a wonderful thing. As we read through 2 John, there are three key terms that we come across. And when we study the Bible, that's what we should do, is look for words that repeat themselves, because that usually helps us to figure out what the subject or the main topic is for a passage that we're reading. And two of those words we came across last week. The first one in Greek is agape, and that means unconditional love. God's supernatural love that we find in him. And he is perfecting in us as we walk with him. And the second word is, in Greek, is aletheia, and it means truth or reality. That's what we have in the person of Jesus Christ, and that's what we have in this Bible book here. We have truth from God revealed to us. The third word that we'll meet today in this passage is, in English, it's command. Command. The Greek word is entole. Entole. It's not probably a word you're going to remember like agape or aletheia, but it's an important word in the Bible too, and an important word in this passage. A command is a direct expression of God's will for us. He's telling us what we should do, what we should know. It's command. Where we should go, how we should think, all those different things. It's a command to us. And it's used four times in verses 4 through 6. The word command is there four times in verses 4 through 6. So it's obviously a theme that we have to deal with as we think about these verses. As I read and thought over these three verses for the last 2 weeks now, I came up with three expressions of God's will for our lives. Three expressions, three direct talks from God to us about his will, his desire, his dream for us, what he wants us to be like. The first expression of God's will that I found in this passage is joy. You see people walking in the truth. Joy. Look at verse 4 again. "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us." Walking in the truth is a really good thing, isn't it? When John met these people from this church, he rejoiced greatly. He was very glad or very happy. The Greek word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A. It means this deep happiness. an inner delight that we have. We can only receive real joy from God, not based upon circumstances around us, but based upon our faith and trust in God. It's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, a gift from God. It's my opinion that he didn't meet all of them, but with those he met from that church, he was really impressed. They were walking in the truth, meaning that their conduct, the way they lived, their way of life, their behavior was God-pleasing. It was exactly what God said. That's the way they were trying to live their lives. Their lives were controlled by the truth. They were, we would say, genuine Christians. You could see from the way they talked and the way they walked, the way they worked, that there was something that was genuine about them. It's like having a hammer, you know, genuine, that does what it's supposed to do. Alan, have you ever had a hammer that doesn't do what it's supposed to do? Whack and it breaks. You know, it's not the one you need. But genuineness means it does what it's absolutely designed to do. And that's what we have here, what these people were like. And this brought sincere joy to the Apostle John's heart. So John had this inner delight with these people. As he noticed these people's relationship with God, he noticed that this relationship wasn't just something that they showed when they were at church or when they were at home. They maintained it even when they were at work or at school, when nobody else was watching. They were like this. They were like this 100% of the time. And they didn't just put it off or put it on during certain times of the week or certain times of the day. Wherever they went, they were authentic. They were true blue. John recognized God's work in them. He paid attention to it. This was an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing when God changes a person's life from the inside out. He complimented them about it. And not only them, but their teachers as well. He put into practice Hebrews 10:24 that says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." We should have great joy when we see people walking in the truth and express that joy to God and to them. Now look for ways to thank people for being faithful in their walk with Jesus. John had a sincere joy to see people walking in the truth. And we had joy. We talked with Peter last week about how he's walking in the truth. Even though, you know, they're totally locked down there. I mean, they have the army out, you know, watching people, making sure they stay in their places. But it doesn't seem to help. But he's faithful. He is, and he fills us with joy. That's the first expression of God's will for our lives, is to be joyful when we see God work. The second expression of God's will is love for one another. And we've spoken about this many times as we read through 1 John. And it comes up here again. Look at verse 5. "And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another." Here in this passage, John is presenting this chosen lady, this church, this woman, and the church that meets in her house, a personal request. And every request that John made to people was always personal. You know, it's like a personal favor he's asking them to do. And he doesn't change with this time. And he knew he could ask this question, could have this request, because this lady in this church was walking in the truth. John was not asking for anything new, something they knew since the beginning of Christ's ministry. Jesus had taught them this, that we should love one another. You know, he probably had to repeat this a lot, because in Ephesus, true Christian love was deformed by all this pagan stuff that was there. This was a center of pagan worship. And, of course, that was a problem. And we see that in the book of Revelation later. It would be a problem historically for this church, love. But he repeated this. Look back in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. And then again in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." So this is repeated, even in 1 John and now in 2 John again. You know, walking in love, loving one another is required of Christians. Do you ever have teachers tell you that? This is not optional. This is required reading, required homework. This is a requirement for Christians that they love one another. And it is a distinctive trademark for them. In John chapter 13, verses 33 to 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This wasn't a new command in time, but a new command in essential nature. You know, the Old Testament had taught as well that we were to love one another. Even farmers were to leave, you know, part of their crops in the field for the poor. So people were taught, the Jews were taught to love one another. But now what he's talking about is something that's new in sensual character. It was now being modeled in the human life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love like Jesus loved. He's our example. He's more than just our example. He's God. He's a great teacher, all those things. But we are to love as Jesus loved. Real love for people is this, that they do what? They lay down their lives for their friends and for their enemies too at times. So the first expression of God's will for our lives is to have joy to see other folks walking in the truth. It's not about us. It's not any kind of competition. It's what God's will is, to have joy, see other people walking in the truth. Secondly, loving one another, the second expression of God's will for our lives. And the third expression is walking in obedience to God's commands. Look at verse 6. "And this is love," he defines it for us, "that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." Amazing how verses 4 through 6 begins with obedience and ends with obedience. So John comes full circle and now defines love for us. What he's talking about here is walking in obedience to God's commands as God has laid it out for us. Now, this week, in men's group, we were studying chapter 18, right? Luke chapter 18. And there's a story in Luke chapter 18 about a rich young ruler. Remember that story? And he comes and he talks with Jesus, and he refers to Jesus as being good. And Jesus right away said, "What do you mean when you're by good?" He was looking at this guy's heart. He's trying to find whether it's actually beating for God or not. And when he didn't find what he was looking for, then he asked him about obeying the commandments. And this young man said he's obeyed, you know, five of these commands. There's 10 of them. They're listed in the Ten Commandments. And yeah, the young man said, "I've obeyed all these from the beginning, my whole life." Really? You think that's really true? Probably not. What he was obeying was his perception, what the Pharisees taught about obeying these commands. No one is able to fulfill the commands of the Bible. No one is able to follow the Ten Commandments and be right with God. Only Jesus could do that. And he tells this young man, "Well, if you want to follow me, then sell everything you got and come, give it to the poor, and follow me." This young man was very sad. He went home. He walked away because he was very, very wealthy. So it became evident that he was not walking in the truth. He was different than some of the other guys that came to Jesus. But he also did not understand the truth. We understand the truth more as we read the Bible, as we're with God's people. It becomes evident to us. We have to live in response, in response to what God has revealed in the Bible. And this means often to be something different than what we at first grasp to be true. We think about it, and we start thinking about our lives, and we think, "Oh, you know, maybe I could have done it this way. Or maybe next time I'll do it this way, rather than the way I did it today." John had said this before as well in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, where he says, "This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome." They're not burdensome because God has changed our hearts and made us open to what God wants us to do. I mean, that's what it's like to be born again, is to want to do the things that God tells us to do in the Bible. And they're all repeating what Jesus had said. They're explaining to us again what Jesus had said in John chapter 14, verse 15, where he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Very simple, isn't it? If you love me, you will obey what I command. God's commands are more than just the Ten Commandments that we find in the Old Testament. It's everything that he says in the Bible. You know, John here is writing to people who lived in a Roman world. Of course, it applies to us today too, but initially, the first century, he was writing to people who lived in a Roman world. The persecution was severe. Think about this. The Roman world was a brutal world. It was a cruel world. It was a world that was pagan to the core. And yet, among those people, there were these men and women who were walking down Roman roads, living in pagan cities, and yet we're living according to what God said. Amazing. Not doing what everybody else is doing, but doing what God told them to do in the Bible. And they were living translations of the gospel of Jesus Christ into real life. were taking this book, what God said, they were reading it, they were understanding it, and it was becoming a part of their heart, becoming a part of their thinking, all those things, and people were seeing that as they lived among them. To live otherwise would make it harder for the other Christians, because many of them would be asked to give their lives for Jesus. And they would just look at these people and say, well, what about Sam over here? What about Fred over here? Why do you act that way as a Christian when these people can act this way? They can eat the meat that's offered to the idols. You know, they can worship the pagan gods. Why do you have to not do this? To love God is to obey his commands. You know, that's the same thing that's needed in our world today too, isn't it? People who are genuine Christians. People who are loving Jesus, allowing Jesus to change their lives and their thinking and their behavior. People walking in obedience to God's commands. So in these three little verses, three expressions for God's will for your life and my life, that we have great joy when we see people walking in the truth. It's just a wonderful thing, isn't it, to see how God can change a person's life and make them new in Christ, make them different. Even though it goes against all odds and what everybody else wants them to do, Jesus does that to people. Secondly, to love one another is expression of his will for us. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Nobody ever does exactly what we want them to do. You know, we could say, oh, do this, and I really like you. But they don't always do what we want them to do. And yet we have to forgive them. We have to give them another chance. We have to love them. Love one another. And thirdly, we have to walk in obedience to God's commands. We have to really understand what the Bible says and say yes to God. I want this for my life because that's God's will for me. Well, just end with a couple questions today. How are you doing with God's commands, with what God has written in the Bible for you and for me? Are you walking in obedience to the Bible, to the Word of God? And the third one is, do you know Christ as your Savior? That's where obedience to him begins. Without Christ as our Savior, we can't obey God, because everything the Bible tells us goes against what our old self wants us to do. Let's pray together as we close. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for these three little verses that tell us something that we won't find in the world around us. We only find because we're listening to you. We have open hearts to you. We have a desire to be like Jesus. We have a desire to come to God. Lord, we just pray that you will fill us with great joy as we obey you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Excited to follow Jesus?